Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We got him. It's the dangerous one, Darrell Ryder in the North Homestead. Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline. Hello, Darrell. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Ooh. Well, that was pretty all curt. Right. Okay, it's going to be one of those interviews. Darrell, let's just start off. Were you as a fan, on your inside, were you celebrating the win yesterday?
No, not a fan, so no. I don't celebrate Browns wins.
Okay, all right, tough guy. Okay, tough journalist, Big J journalist. Fine.
I was mourning the Saints' loss to the 49ers.
Talk trash to me. I'm a Browns fan. I'm just a guy on the radio, so I can be. I'm not a journalist like you. Should I have been celebrating the Browns' win yesterday?
Yeah, sure. They don't do it often. Of course you should.
Boy, this is...
I feel like
you
everybody
got
off,
over there because I got nothing for Darrell.
I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. What happened, Darrell?
What happened? What's wrong?
What's going on?
Why are you mad?
No, I'm not mad. I mean, fans should celebrate when their favorite team wins, no matter how they do it, no matter how ugly it is. And if there's ever a fan base that should celebrate wins, it's the Browns because they don't win. I mean, here's one of the more pathetic stats that this franchise, or I should say milestones that this franchise has finally achieved. For the first time in the expansion era, they beat the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals in the same season.
Moving up in the world. There
you go.
Yes,
they are. That is what we call progress, people. They secured at least a third-place finish for the first time since the 2001-2002 seasons in back-to-back years. So they avoid the basement of back-to-back years, which rarely happens. So again, progress being made by the Cleveland Browns, even though they're not where everyone thought they'd be this year. But hey, I mean, it's the little things that you got to look at the glasses half full. And, you know, I mean, as Baker said after the game, that is a game that they should have won. They went out. They won the football game. So people should be very happy about that today.
Yeah, Darrell, I did say for all the stuff we're talking about Odell Beckham and whether the offense, why it's dysfunctional, what the issues are, and they got outgained by basically 120 yards to the worst team in the league yesterday.
Yep.
When you can win a game when your quarterback is horrible, which is what Baker was yesterday, you do have to feel kind of good that you found a way. I don't care who you play.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, let's give Freddie Kitchens some credit. At halftime, he had an epiphany and realized that the Bengals are the worst team in the league stopping the run, and so what did he do coming out in the second half? They ran the ball, and they walked 75 yards down the field and got a touchdown and gave themselves a little bit of breathing room. Nick Chubb had 99 of his 106 yards there in the second half. So let's give, for as much criticism as Freddie gets, let's give him some credit for making the adjustment he probably should have made at halftime or at kickoff. So, you know, again, it, you know, the little things and, you know, you can feel good about coming away with a win, even though that there were opportunities for them to put even more points on the board.
Darrell, what'd you think of the defense yesterday? I know we talk offense, offense, offense all the time on this station because of the weapons and Baker, and we know everything down the road is going to be predicated around that offense and the passing game
yep.
and the running game. But defensively yesterday, boy, I thought Ken made a great point. You could
Thank
tell
you.
Yesterday not having Myles Garrett is catching up to this team. There's only so much you can do. And no Olivier Vernon, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, Denzel Ward, I thought basically saved the day with that pick six because the Browns were about to go down by either 6 points or 10 points because the Bengals were walking right down the field again. He gets a pass that goes off Auden Tate's hands and falls right into his arms and was able to, you know, weave his way up the near sideline into the end zone for a 61-yard pick six. It was like the first one the Browns had since I think Jason McCourty in like 2015 or something. Talk about a blast from the past. So, 17 season rather. And you know, it's been a while. So that was a huge play that really stunted the momentum that the Bengals had begun to build, you know, early in that game. Sheldon Richardson, I thought, had a pretty good game. He's got three sacks combined over the last three games now. Had seven tackles yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, there are times when you watch this defense, guys, and you can tell that they're basically running on fumes out there. Not only the not having Myles Garrett, but, you know, some of the other guys that they're missing on that side of the ball.
Well, Darryl, and it also helps out that Denzel Ward had the pick six just for the good name, because I think that they've asked a lot of them recently, and there's been some people. And, they're not as good as what they were last. Well, Greedy Williams was in college last year. But Denzel isn't as good as he was last year. I'll admit that. Hopefully he finishes off the season nicely and we could balance that out. But right. And Greedy Williams is a rookie, and they both have missed time because of their injury. But you're also asking them to do more, and you're not having as much help with the safety because your one veteran is hurt, and the other one, I don't know if you can count on him anymore. So you're asking more of those guys in coverage one-on-one. It's almost like the Browns defense has reverted to the old days. We used to make the arguments for Joe Hayden and for other guys about, well, if you're not going to get a pass rush, eventually they're going to complete these passes.
Yeah, and I mean, yesterday we saw the bend don't break. I mean, you gave up, and not you, but the Browns gave up over 450 yards in offense to, quite frankly, the worst team in the National Football League yesterday. However, and the most important statistic, they only gave up 19 points. So you saw a lot of that bend but don't break type of defense. You know, Bullock ended up kicking, I think, what, four field goals yesterday. Overall, pretty decent job by that defense, considering the volume of yards that they gave up, that they only allowed the one touchdown.
Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, join us on the hotline. What do you make all over the stories of the last 72 hours coming out about the Browns? We had one on Mary Kay had the dysfunctional offense stuff that she had quoted some anonymous players. Obviously, the Odell stuff, Jay Glazer yesterday, stuff that you had been working on, also about the injury that Ian Rapoport had. All this coming out, and the team has won. What was it? Is it four of their last
four
five?
Four of their last five.
Like, what do you make
four
of that, Darryl?
Well, I mean, it puts a lot of context to what's going on. You know, it certainly explains why the red zone targets aren't there for Odell, because you can't throw the guy a jump ball, or he could probably do some serious damage to himself. So. It does provide some context to what's been going on. I don't know what to make of the report from Jay Glazer that he's telling opponents before the game to come get me. I talked to a couple of former players yesterday who told me that there probably needs to be more context with those type of remarks, because guys tend to say that a lot, you know, before games. It's just their way of, you know, communicating with each other, and, you know, if anything happens, you know, maybe keeping the market somewhat hot for them. So I don't know. And then with what Baker said after the game, which I think is 100% true, he just had a moment of honesty that he probably should not have had. And that would also explain why maybe Odell Beckham Jr. isn't all that happy being with the Cleveland Browns. So, The picture of what has been going on behind the scenes, I think, with some of these reports and just some stuff that I've heard on background and whatnot, just it's all starting to kind of make some sense.
All right, Darryl, then, I brought up before, and I said it yesterday as well, is this a Kyrie situation? Like, I'm not saying Odell is telling everybody I want out. Like, we don't know. We don't know the truth to this. Obviously, we know the Browns were never really going to be on his destination list. He ends up getting traded, and he wants to make it work. He obviously knows that his reputation was such that he was getting a lot of criticism from around the NFL for things in New York, and he knew he threw his quarterback under the bus. So he's not going to do that here. He can't do that in two straight places. How can John Dorsey make this work, somehow find a way for the organization, the quarterback, the offensive structure to work in cahoots with this quarterback?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, the medical situation and making sure that is clarified, smoothed over, however you want to describe it, because that's a big deal. If and I'm stressing if, because I don't know, just going off of what Baker said after the game, and then and to be fair, Baker jumped on Twitter right after and said that I didn't mean to throw anybody under the bus, motion, and I don't know the details of what's going on with Odell. But if what Baker Mayfield said was true, that the training staff mishandled the injury or misdiagnosed the injury or didn't get it taken care of and have him have the surgery, which will only maybe cost him one or two games so that he'd be 100%. If that stuff's true, that creates mistrust between the player and the organization. Let's be very clear and real about that. But again, we don't know if that's true, but I can believe it's true because it does happen. And so you'd understand then why Odell Beckham Jr. would be somewhat unhappy with the Browns. But that's something that Dorsey will have to clean up. Because here's the thing. Odell's under contract for the next, I think it's 3 or 4 years, because he got that big contract extension from the Giants that the Browns inherit. So the Browns are under no obligation to move him. I know Jay Glazer said that the relationship he doesn't see ending very well between the Browns and Odell. We'll wait and see. But there clearly are some issues there that need resolved and off the field. And then as far as on the field and what's going on with the offense and that, again, I got to think that obviously Freddie Kitchens knows what's going on. He hinted as much yesterday when he said that he's dealing with something there. But, you don't want to put a player in a position that is already playing hurt to injure themselves even further. So whatever miscommunication, whatever frustration between the two parties is going on, it's going to be up to John Dorsey to smooth those edges over come this offseason.
Daryl, Baker was dreadful yesterday. That was as bad as I've seen him play. Was that the hand? I know he's not going to be one to make excuses for it. Do you think that was the issue? Because that was not good yesterday.
No, it wasn't. Threw two more interceptions, less than 200. I mean, that was a game he should have lit the Bengals on fire. Let's just call it for what it is. And he did not do that. He said after the game the hand didn't bother him. He didn't have the wrap on Friday, didn't wear a glove, didn't feel he needed to wear a glove. I know you can't see a whole lot, but, I didn't see any kind of, bruise or swelling in his hand on Friday when I got an up-close look at it. So I don't know, Anthony. I don't know what was the cause of what was, as you put it, not a very good afternoon. For him, just 11 of 24, again with those two interceptions. Throws were off. Throws were high, which is usually an indication that you're throwing off your back foot. That's what typically causes footballs to sail a bit. I think Baker this offseason really needs to invest some time just fine-tuning his mechanics a little bit and getting that muscle memory down, because I think that if one area we've seen some slippage with Mayfield this year, it is in the mechanics department.
I agree. I totally agree. Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So for Freddie, and I know you went on this a little bit when it came to the OBJ stuff. I think there should be a conversation between OBJ and John Dorsey and try to clear the air a little bit. I don't think that we should hit DEFCON 1 all of a sudden and just trade him away for pennies on the dollar. I'd like to work something out for the guy. But when it comes to Freddie, how much of this is maybe the frustration over him? Should we be looking more towards Freddie, or is it just an overall thing there? Because one of the things that bothered me so much, Daryl, is that this team has an identity crisis. They are a running football team. Their offensive line dictates that, and they just continuously try to throw that football. I was sick to my stomach in the first half yesterday.
I wasn't sick to my stomach. I was perplexed watching that game plan in the first half because, again, Cincinnati came in as the worst rushing team in the league, giving up nearly 160 yards on the ground. And, in the first half, the Browns threw it six times and they ran it – or 16 times, I should say, and ran it just six if you take the two scrambles from Baker Mayfield out of the equation. Then they come right out of the locker room and walk it right down the field. Nick Chubb has the big 57-yard run to really spark that drive and get them into scoring position. Kareem Hunt's able to finish it off with a 3-yard touchdown. I mean, I don't profess to be a football savant, not by any stretch of the imagination. Freddie Kitchens has forgotten more football than I love. Even I knew that right out of the gate, should have pounded the ball on the ground and run it right down their throat and said, I dare you to stop me. I am going to run it and run it some more and run it some more, and you're going to have to stop me. And I know you're not going to be able to. And that didn't happen until the second half. But again, he made the halftime adjustment, and ultimately the Browns were able to pull away in the second half and win their sixth game of the year, which, by the way, is the seventh time since 1999. The Browns also achieved that feat.
Daryl, thank you for the good times. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm glad it finished much nicer than what it started. He was in a bad mood. I don't care what anybody says. He had the red ass. 216-578-0092. Cavs tickets coming up in 6 minutes. Also, remember, Daryl, again, comes up on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.